This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So without further ado, welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I am your host, Megan Mattoon, and today from the comfort of our own homes, except for me, I'm in Vermont and somebody else's home, we have Amy Ordman and Jack Dodge here.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hi.
You guys listening may know Amy and Jack from their podcast, Dating Straight, or their respective YouTube channels, but you may not know that they met on Twitter.
We totally did.
Is that true?
How did you know that?
I was like, usually I do a lot of deep diving, or me, I'm taking credit for something my assistant does. Usually us as a team go and stalk all my guests.
Wow.
But this time I was like, oh, I want to like listen to a bunch of podcasts or interviews that they've done with other people. Usually
genius.
I listen to their podcasts too, but I was like, I want to know like something that maybe they don't know that I know. But yeah, that's so interesting. Meeting on Twitter. How did that happen?
We were both friends with Troy Sivan, like somehow, I don't even know. I know his older brother, and Jack knew him from Twitter as well.
I was like, somehow a fan that became a friend. Like, it didn't make any sense, but suddenly I was just in his circle. And then
we were like, hey. And then honestly, I just realized like literally all of my friends through the internet, like all of my close friends.
That is so cool. I was thinking about that the other day. I was talking to someone being like, it's so hard to meet people on the internet talking about dating.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I looked at it, almost all of my friends too are from the internet, like all my close group of friends. What was it like for you guys? Were you just like in each other's mentions, or how did you even know about each other?
Wow.
The two of you?
I don't recall. Like, it must have been I don't know. Jack, do you remember?
I think back in the day it was different. Like, I think now it's much harder because YouTube is just a completely different platform now. Like, back in the day, I feel like it was very community oriented. Like, if somebody, for instance, if Troy liked a video, like just liked it, it would go on his front page, right? So like, I would see who he was watching. And through that,
I think that was it.
That makes so much
sense. That must have been it.
Vibes.
Yeah. Wow. So it would be really hard now if people were to want to find internet friends.
Well,
right?
Yeah, good luck.
Wishing you the best. I think that also, like, us being gay, and I mean, I didn't have any gay friends or like gay out friends really, and Jack the same. Like, you do kind of have to seek community online, and I know that that's certainly the gay experience from what I've, like, you hear about all these lesbians meeting on Tumblr, etc.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I canceled my Tumblr a long time ago because I couldn't handle all of the controversy about me. People love making pages about people and saying mean things.
There's controversy. Yeah,
oh my
tell
god,
us
what's the
tea.
Controversy.
It was like, I can't even remember. I forgot what they're called. I guess maybe like confession blogs. And it was supposed to be, you can say anything good, bad, or otherwise. Mm. And I'm sure people said a lot of good stuff, but the only things I can remember were all the bad things. 100%. And so I was like, oh, I'm deleting this instantly. Mm. But okay, so Tumblr was good for the lesbian community. And I'm so like, how do you find a community online because it's so big, regardless of like the niche? Like, how do you find the niche people?
I mean, like, there were the Tyler Oakleys, the Hannah Hotts. So I don't know, like, they were there. They were, if you're looking for it, it's there. And I was certainly looking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I was just going to say, like, going back sort of to what Amy said about the queerness, our queerness being a driving force, like, neither of us were out at the time, but like,
vibes,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Your gaydar knows. Yeah. Your gaydar just knows. Vibes. So like, I made a lot of friends on the internet just by like cycling. I feel like it was like speed dating. Like, you meet a lot of people all at once, but the ones that you really connect with and stick with, for me, ended up just also being gay. And that was because that's what I was looking for. So I feel like that's, I just met so many people, and the ones who I just connected with, one of which was Amy, are my friends now.
Yeah, it's like digital manifestation. Like, the what you put out, you will receive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, love that. Okay. And then, so you guys met on the internet, and then you met in person finally, hit it off, right?
Honestly,
I'm making this up.
I don't think that we really hit it off the first time that we met.
We did not.
Wait, what?
I went to LA because I had never been there before. And like, after high school, I honestly don't remember, but I hit up Jack because he had like 6,000 subscribers. He was like huge at the time in my eyes. I had like 2,000 subscribers, and I was like, let's collab, or even less than that maybe. I was like, let's collab. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is a big deal. Like, this is my big break. So I went to LA and he picked me up from the hostel that I was staying at, Banana Bungalow, shout out. It's really fun if you're coming to LA on a budget. And we went to his aunt's house because Jack lived in San Diego at the time. He was visiting for Thanksgiving. And so went there, collabed. It was honestly like awkward because of course,
it was a horrible, horrible challenge.
Yep.
Like, I was literally 16.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, yeah, it was bad. And we did not hit it off at all. You also met my whole family, which was weird.
Yeah.
And it was not that fun. But for some reason, the gayness, I think, just stuck. We remained talking.
Yeah. And then I went to VidCon with Jack like the next year, but then that's when we like actually started having fun with each other.
Okay. Interesting. Does anyone talk about how awkward collabs are when you don't know the people? Like, has any YouTube person ever talked about how awful it is?
I don't do that anymore, but
I don't either, but like, we used to.
We did.
And it was, and like, we've never met these people before, and we're going over to each other's houses and like pretending we're best friends. Like, it's kind of a weird situation.
It is. But I feel like also if you're watching someone, like if you see their videos, I feel like anyone who watches my videos or even like listens to the podcast kind of gets, you know, kind of knows who, what I'm about, you know? So maybe it's like a little less weird, but yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, like, when you jump into different kind of ponds of YouTube, because, you know, there's like kind of like cliques. Like, if you watch Mean Girls and it has like that overlay of like, this is where the jocks sit and this is where like the art kids sit. It's kind of like that in the YouTube community. And it's weird sometimes when you are hopping over to the other table and doing some cinnamon challenge with someone, and it's like, what if you don't vibe? Like, and you're in their house and it's, and you're hungry and you can't ask for anything. It's just like a lot.
Megan, who was your most awkward collab that you've ever had? Tell us.
It's been so long that I've collabed with anyone that I can't even remember. But I remember I collabed with one person and ended up dating them, which was really
lovely. Oh my God. I love that.
Oh my God. The longest collab in history.
It's everything.
Yeah, relationships are a collab. Oh my God. Do you have any horror collab stories, Jack?
I mean, other than Amy and I's, which is genuinely horrible and not funny to watch to this day. Like, I tried to watch it recently and it's not at all funny.
It's on
funny,
private,
actually.
Right?
Yeah.
You privated yours? Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, we've actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we've done a lot of really weird things. Like, we did the spit challenge where you, like, try not to laugh and you just, like you fill your mouth with water and you spit all over each other. That Jack, also
that
was weird.
That is a good video. How dare you?
But
that one stands up.
No, I mean, there aren't any horrors, but I mean, there are definitely, looking back, like, what was I thinking?
If anyone did the spit challenge now, literally me, if anyone did the spit challenge now, I feel like that would be horror for quarantine.
Yes.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Speaking of quarantine, yeah, just illegal. What stage of quarantine are you guys both in right now? Like, if you could give your, because we're, I don't know, 5 months in, 6 months, what would you title this chapter of quarantine?
I am past banana bread. I've had that phase. I think maybe I'm just like into the like relaxation phase. Is that a phase? I'm just watching Gossip Girl and going on hikes.
Wholesome.
And podcasting. Yeah.
Okay, good. Right? So we're going to call that the relaxation. XOXO relaxation.
Or like,
we'll call it that.
Oh my God, that's good. Well, my therapist told me that I put myself in rehab. So maybe it's the rehab phase. I mean, yes, I'm not actually in rehab. I'm at home. Okay. Just wanted to
clear it up. Okay, Jack, what about yours? Your title of quarantine.
Well, I'm actually right now stuck at home with my parents. So I would say I'm in a mixture of like 16 again. I feel like I'm, you know, in high school and I can't leave the house and I'm, you know, can't like sneak out and like go date boys and I can't like,
cute.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm in my room, my childhood room. I just feel like I'm a youth.
Wow. That's interesting. Has anything come up from your childhood since you're kind of surrounded by your adolescence?
I think I appreciate my parents a lot more. I think I'm also in this stage, I'm sure as we all are, of just like looking back on our lives pre-quarantine, being like, wow, my life was really easy, but also like, and that's good, but also maybe it shouldn't be that easy and maybe I should look at myself and really look at myself in the mirror and be like, okay, here are some things that I could have improved upon and learn about myself more. So I feel like I'm learning about myself while also learning about them and learning that they are like real humans who aren't just my parents. Like I feel like my parents just began to be humans when I was born, but I'm now slowly learning that like, oh, they actually were also like my age at one point.
Right? And they've had entire lives. Yeah. I just asked my dad for the first time, like what it was like moving across the country or across the world to America. Like I've never talked about this before with my dad. And it's just crazy that, wow. Quarantine has given me the time and the curiosity to go, hang on, you're a full person before I became in this world and then became your world. So like, let's go all the way back. I mean, they say that parenting is the thankless job. And the older I get, the more I'm like, wow, I've never thanked them for anything.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Amy, what have you learned about yourself during this time in quarantine?
I have learned that it's okay to pause and take a break when you don't know like the next move that you want to make. You just kind of should stop and then look around. I mean, I've been making YouTube videos forever. So I kind of stopped for like the past, I don't know, month, 2 months or something. And it's been really interesting because that literally defined me. Like if a video didn't perform well or whatever, I would be like, oh, well, I'm terrible and not funny and everyone hates me. So I'm trying to like redefine how I think of myself, and that YouTube is like the most fun and creative job that I could have. So I want to like put fun and creativity into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, I feel like, were you uploading every single week?
At a point in my life, I was uploading twice a week for like, I didn't take a break for a year. And then, you know, that crumbled, took a little break. And then I was like once a week or two. But
I think it's so important though, because I went through that as well. And I think when I was stalking you guys, Jackie, you had mentioned something similar of like making a new channel because the other one was a lot of pressure, I think. And then you ended up making that second one. And then you're like, I don't want to do any of this. And so
okay, called out.
But like, I feel like that too. And I'm so interested in maybe what people that watch us think, because usually, I mean, now
they think we're lazy.
Really? No way.
That's what they think.
But like, how? Yeah. It's so much work. People gotta know.
We have a friend, Alex Weiss, and she also just made a video being like, I'm taking a break. And there were so many comments on that being like, how much time can it really take to do one video? You sit down, you think of a video, you film it, and you edit it, you upload. It's like not a big deal. But they don't think about like the emotional toll, like even creative toll that comes along with like putting your whole self online. So,
or even showing up to sit in front of a camera and open your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Like sometimes you don't feel like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I was about to say this, like a similar thing, like the emotional, like it is not, I genuinely believe this, it is not healthy to like sit in front of a camera and pretend you're okay when you're not okay. And
oh my God,
like doing that over and over and over again, you lose who you are. Like I genuinely do think when I was also, I know I was vlogging pretty much every day for a while. Like I took my camera everywhere, and putting so much of yourself online for other people to critique, it really, like you were saying, Amy, my worth was based on views, watch time, comments, everything. And so taking that time to, I mean, I think all YouTubers who have done this, like you have to take time away and have a break and like relearn yourself kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even in the editing process of like picking yourself apart and cutting out jokes that you think are bad, or like, I don't know, putting filters on your face if you have like a pimple or something like that. Like I've been through all of that too. And it's crazy to think the days that I'm so low and have so much anxiety that I just like, I put on a song and I try and like change my, I don't know what it's called. It's not my biology, but you know, like your mindset and get your head in the game and then film with this like fake smile. It's like, I think now people are becoming aware of authenticity and being so much more sensitive to when you can tell in someone's eyes when things aren't okay. And like, I remember going through a lot of internal turmoil and then turning it on for the camera. And then I would see comments being like, this is what depression looks like. And I'm like, holy fuck. Like, but you're not supposed to see that. And it's crazy because like they say, like the camera doesn't lie, and the people that are paying attention will pay attention to that. And they'll pay attention before you do. Like somebody else knew that I was going through something before I could even tell myself the gravitas of how serious it was.
I think it's also hard too, because I do see the other side. Like I watch YouTubers and I'm like, it is the easiest job in the world, and it can be the easiest job in the world. If you really enjoy it, there is nothing easier than putting out a video that you are so excited about. But so it's kind of weird to like, you know, complain so much, but it's so fucking hard.
It is hard. It is the best job, but it is hard.
Yeah, it's just emotional.
What do you guys do whenever it starts to get really intense? I mean, Amy, you mentioned taking a break, stepping back. But other than that, like if other people are creating things, whether it be YouTube videos or musicians or artists, Especially in a time like this where comedians, like, you don't want to be funny. The world is really bad right now. How do you still do your job in this climate? Like, have you found anything that's helped you kind of keep it going?
Yeah, I think you just be honest. People would much prefer to see, like, you being honest rather than trying to fake some sort of, like, smile or joke or whatever, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think there are, there's this YouTuber who's going completely viral. She's gained, like, 150,000 subscribers in, like, the past, like, two weeks or something crazy. Because her name's Kelly Stamps, and she is blowing up because she is just so relatably normal. Like, she does not put on a show. And people see that right now, especially because you can't fake being happy right now. And also another thing that my friend Levi told me, which I've been doing, which has helped a lot, is once I post a video, I only go on the comments section. I click the comments, like, button or whatever on your, like, studio app. And then I literally close my eyes and squint when the views pop up, when the likes pop up, when the watch time pops up, because it's none of my business. Like, I want to post what I want to post, and people want that. People want what, you know, what you like to post. The best videos are always the ones you feel best about.
Yeah. All of my close friends were like, what's your favorite video you've ever made? And we all say the one that we've made. And it's like, what's your most popular video? And it's like the one we hate the most. It's just so insane. Like, where we put our heart and our art, and it doesn't get the same views as, you know, something we really just threw up against a wall. And it was like, oh, well, that worked. All right. Mm-hmm. I have a question about, since we were talking about what we've learned about ourselves during quarantine, what do you feel like you've discovered anything about yourself, whether it be like a mindset or a hobby or a routine, anything that you want to bring into probably next year when we're done with quarantine fully? Well, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, it's not going to, I don't think, be this year, but in the next season of life, have you found anything that you want to take, that you learned about yourself this year, into the next season?
I don't know. I think, like, this is stupid, but I've just been, like, had so much more time for myself. So I've been, like, exercising a bunch, and I would love to keep doing that. Just makes me feel better about myself. And it lowers anxiety. I know that they always said that, and I was like, whatever. But it really does. So that.
Yeah. I hope to take a lot. I've been doing, like, a lot of soul searching right now. It's kind of dramatic. I'm, like, journaling every day, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm, like, discovering so much. But the one thing that I do feel like that my dad actually told me, and I believe it's a song lyric. I can't remember what the song is, but it's this song lyric that the secret to life is enjoying the passage of time. And I think it's hard for me to do that. Like, I have a really hard time just, you know, watching the days go by and being content with, you know, just being in life and just being. But I think it's something that we can all do our best to learn from. And I'm trying to do that every day. And I would like to do that when life gets busier again.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy being.
That's so important.
What have you learned that you want to take?
I think I'm similar to Jack in the way that I am really going deep inside. Like, I don't think I've ever looked at every crevice of myself. I literally wrote in my journal today, like, do you ever feel, I'm going to read it actually, because it's not, like, poetic in any way, but I was just like,
ooh,
I said, I like spend the next hour and a half just reading from the top.
I need some inspiration.
Honestly, yeah. Could you?
I don't even know who I was asking this for, but I said, do you ever feel like you're in a plaster mold of who you thought you were, and now you feel confined, like you're in a body coffin where you have to crack yourself free from the inside? And then it says the hatching, which is like, I literally feel like,
damn.
I felt it in my clavicle, and I just felt like Kill Bill, you know, when she's like getting out of that coffin with her little hand.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like that iconic. Truly iconic. Made me love the color yellow. And I feel like I feel like I'm in a paper mache body sculpture. And like, there's a saying somewhere on the internet that's like, life ends when it cracks from the outside, but when it cracks from the inside, life begins. And it was like a little picture of a chicken, you know, when they like are born, yeah, and their life cool. starts. It was yeah. It was one picture of a chicken hatching out of the shell, and then one of like the egg cracking into a pan. So it's like internal and external cracking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, one is beautiful, one is like exploiting.
But yeah, I feel like that.
I think you're right though. I feel like you could also look at it. I've been watching, I don't know what your viewing habits on YouTube are, but mine are freaking super weird. I watch snake YouTubers, and I feel like you could look at it like a snake shedding their skin. You know, you're the same person, but you are leaving behind like what does not serve you anymore. And it's hard to figure out right now, or try to figure out. Of course, we'll never figure out at all, but what we take with us moving forward and what we can leave behind comfortably.
Yeah. I love that so much. I'm going to let it linger before. Actually, we'll take a break right now and people can chew on that in their mind. We're going to take a break while Amy and Jack give us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Before we get into our caller question, I want to ask one more thing since we were on the topic of quarantine and changing and shedding our snake skin. What ways do you feel like you're different today than you were? Like, I want to say a year ago, but even like 1 month ago, we'll say a year. How do you feel like you're different today than you were 1 year ago?
I feel very, very different. I feel much more like in my body than I have ever. I mean, I started therapy in January, and that can just really change your whole life. I feel much more like centered and much more understanding of my emotions and my responses to things.
I think that's great. So, if people are interested or scared of therapy, what's something that you've learned in these 6 months being in therapy that you could tell someone that is kind of on the fence about it?
I don't know. I feel like most of the people that I talk to at least aren't afraid of therapy because like, in LA, everyone has a therapist. Even my therapist has a therapist, you know? So I feel like it's nothing to be afraid of. It's really important to like look within. And if you want to like live, I don't know. It's definitely made me happier overall, even though it's really hard. Yeah. I don't know. What did I just say?
You said it makes you happier. It's hard. It won't be easy, but and that's great. I mean, I think that's absolutely correct.
Or at least like not necessarily happier, but just more understanding when I am sadder.
Yeah, that's so important. Okay, Jack, what about you? How are you different than you were 1 year ago?
I've been grappling a lot with the future, as I'm sure a lot of us are, because it seems like there is no future right now. But I'm much less scared of the future. I feel like this is a silly thing to realize, and it meant so much to me, but I like just realized that I don't have to have my life figured out at 60. Like, I don't have to work that out now. Like, 60-year-old me will figure out life for 60-year-old me, and I don't have to worry about that now. For some reason, I never thought about that. I always felt like I had to set myself up right now, and I don't. Like, I don't know, future me will figure out future me's problems, and that has been really comforting.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it like that. Well, especially because in our culture, we're taught to kind of think about even like our 5-year plan and then our 10-year plan. And when do we want to retire? And what's your Roth IRA? What are your 401ks? Like all we've been set up to think we need to set up when really we just need to be day to day, ask ourselves kind of what you were saying, Amy, it was like being in your body. I've been working on intuitive eating lately of being like, how do I feel right now? Like, what is my body asking for? How hungry am I? And instead of being like, oh, I should eat that. It's like, well, what do I want to eat? And really just like checking in and even going beyond a diet thing, going to like, what does my inner child want? Whenever you feel like you are kind of like fighting with what you should be doing or like what the adult version of you would be doing, what's like, what does the little me want? And then you can use, it's almost like you're two people. If you were to like bifurcate yourself into a little you and a current you, and in like almost like a motorcycle sidecar situation, like you're the driver, but the little you in the sidecar is telling you where they want to go. And then you have the wherewithal, you have the drive, you have the direction in order to make that happen. That's a good metaphor, actually.
Write that down.
In my journal, underneath the hatching. I think.
Is that your big learning experience this quarantine?
I think mine would be probably a mixture of what you both said of listening to myself and going in. It's like going in, knock, knock, how you feeling? I hear you. That's been like my internal chatter. Just really.
Yeah.
Really being, because I'm never really alone that much. When I'm back in LA, I do live alone, but I have friends all the time. And we had this little quarantine pod after the stay-at-home order was lifted. And so now I'm in Vermont for a couple weeks before this big job, and I'm truly alone. Like, I know no one. The closest thing is, a country market like 5 miles away. So there, like I Googled on Google Maps and I was like, is there Sephora? And it was like, yeah, in the next state over. And I was like, oh my God. Like there's nothing to really do. So all I can do is just be with myself. I don't watch TV anymore. It's crazy. I know. Well, the Wi-Fi isn't good enough for TV. But I have been watching a lot of YouTube videos of learning French. So that's something that's different than a year ago.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Okay. Yeah. Enough about me. Let's get to helping someone. We have a question from an 18-year-old person. And here it is.
Hi, Megan and guest. I'm 18 years old and I'm having a lot of trouble with loving myself. All my life, I thought I loved myself. My friends would literally tell you that I'm the most confident, independent, and ambitious person they've ever met. I've never had a boyfriend before, let alone a first kiss, but recently I met this really awesome, sweet dude who made me realize that I actually hate myself so much, because when I told him that, he asked me why, and I immediately told him because no one would ever love me like that, and he said, you're stupid, you just don't love yourself, that's why you think that. And he was so right, because whenever I want something so bad, I do absolutely anything I can do to get it. But once I get it, I don't want it anymore. Like, for example, my dream growing up was to get the lead role in The Nutcracker, like the Clara, and I got it, but I turned it down immediately after I got it. When I told him that, he said, maybe it's because you tell yourself you didn't deserve it. And he was so right. So literally after that, he asked me on a date, and I told him I have to love myself first. So basically, my question is, how do you love yourself when you've been belittled your whole life and believe the belittling, if that makes sense? Please help me. I really want to go on this date. Love, a willing to change 18-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
So sweet. So sad, but sweet.
Yeah, so sweet. Yeah.
The belittling the whole life makes me so sad, because it almost feels like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the situation of them growing up, but is the belittling being done to you, or are you also, you know, exacerbating it? Because it kind of, I mean, to mm-hmm. tell me what you think, but in my opinion, the wanting something that you can't have, and when you get it, you don't want it anymore. It's I so much comes up for me, but I want to know what you two think.
Well, I mean, this is hard. I think, firstly, I would like to say, I mean, it's incredibly relatable, especially at that age. I don't think you should be expected to have your life figured out at 18, or really expect much of anything of yourself. I think that's where we run into a lot of problems. At least I say we, but I really mean me, is I expect so much of myself. I have so many expectations, and even when I reach them or when I don't, I'm disappointed because I just want more or something. So I think, I don't know, at a certain point, I think attempting to not expect as much and just observe yourself in the world and notice that you do have a place in the world just by like putting your phone down, delete social media, and just like actually like feeling the feelings and the sights in the world. It's you can learn a lot and see a lot about yourself just by literally looking outside your window. And I know that sounds like very abstract, but I feel like a lot of it, I'm sure, is probably comparing yourself to other people too on social media. Get rid of it, go outside, sit, and just like be with yourself. And over time, you'll learn to enjoy yourself, I think.
Yeah, I think that is such good advice of just like really the comparison game, I think, has been detrimental to me personally for so long. I mean, I think all of us, especially with social media. But when, in the beginning, when she said that her friends would tell her that she's the most confident and ambitious person ever, it's so crazy. It's almost like body dysmorphia. Like what we put out, we kind of don't know our value until we get validated. It's like us checking all the comments of being like, how did people perceive me? Am I as funny as I thought I am? Or am I like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, why do we need other people to tell us what we already know about, or well, maybe we don't know it about ourselves, but that, I don't know. It's kind of hard now that I'm thinking about it. It's like, well, if people are telling you something about yourself that you don't believe, but you are, do you know what I'm saying? Like we can't perceive that because our confidence isn't, available enough to receive it. It's almost like speaking a different language. I was going to say speaking a different love language, but no, let's go actual language. It's like if you understand Spanish and someone's speaking English to you, then they could be telling you the best stuff, but you would be like, no habla inglés. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And maybe that's the same thing of like when there's not the confidence isn't built up enough for you to be able to translate, then you just wouldn't receive it. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
I mean, I'm like sorry, Jack, you go first.
No, you.
Okay. I mean, I'm such a little bitch for therapy. So it sounds like there's a lot of like learning that's like ingrained in you if you've been belittled your whole life that you're going to have to undo. And also, like, loving yourself is going to take, I mean, it's probably going to be like a, I mean, for all of us, isn't it like a lifelong activity?
Absolutely.
So I don't think that you should wait to go on this date.
Yeah, go on the
necessarily. Date. He sounds lovely. And it sounds like he really like sees and understands you as well. So
yeah. I think sort of like you were saying, Megan, and sort of like harking back to our whole social media conversation about like YouTube, like I think it's a similar thing that this person is saying is like everyone thinks you're so confident and awesome, but you're like at a certain point, if you don't believe that yourself, if that's not coming from a true place of when you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you're like, I'm awesome when no one else is around, then it doesn't matter. Like you don't believe it truly. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's just going to be a matter of spending time with just yourself. And I mean, I'm a big extrovert, but like you find your true, true confidence when you are alone, I think. And now might be a great time to just like take your thoughts and feelings with weight and, you know, try and work through them. I mean, therapy also is great.
So good.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think you should go on the date. But can we not be talking about this with people that are interested in us, right? I mean, like, we can definitely do the soul searching and the journaling and really being with ourselves. But at the same time, like, human connection, I think, is one of the things that helped me with my confidence issues. Because if you're alone with yourself for too long, especially if we have all these preconceived notions about how we're not good enough, like, there's got to be some sort of balance. And that's why I also think that therapy is so good, because you're alone enough to be very honest with someone else, if that makes sense. Like, if you go on this date,
yeah,
I definitely think, like, don't put it off. Maybe you don't be, I don't know, get into like a long-term relationship if you don't feel stable. Because yeah, if you don't love yourself, then you won't be able to love somebody else. But who says you can't learn to love yourself with the help of someone else? Right?
Mm. Mm. Much to think about, Megan. You make some good
also,
points.
Also, there's like self-deprecating humor is ruining us all. It's like you need to stop negative self-talk and replace that with positive self-talk. Because if you say all these bad things about yourself, then of course you're going to feel bad by yourself. Yeah.
That's so, I want to go into that actually, because I remember one of the comments was like, you need to stop being so hard on yourself. You self-deprecate too much and like, you're better than that. And I was like, but these are funny jokes. And the thing is, I don't know if you know this, everyone listening, but like, you can be funny without being self-deprecating. That probably means you're funnier. Mm-hmm. And that's like something that I had to learn, because I was like going for the easy joke because I knew it's almost like a sitcom. If you've ever like looked at a sitcom script, it's like a written one. Every 15 seconds or something, there needs to be a punchline. It's like, well, you don't have to be like that, especially on YouTube when people really want authenticity. But I was like, oh, this is an easy joke. I'll have a laugh here. I'll have a laugh there. And it was always like, and sometimes I wouldn't even believe it. Like after a while, sometimes I did believe the self-deprecating jokes and it made me worse. And sometimes I would just say it for the joke and it wouldn't feel good because I was lying. Like, and I knew it. Like sometimes I think I remember one off the top of my head of being like, I'm such a mess. And it's like, well, I'm actually not a mess. And so that's not funny. Like, it might be funny to someone else being like, you know, like, oh, relatable. But like, I'm not relatable because I'm lying. Like, I'm not a mess right now. I mean, you know, we all are a mess in our own ways, but like, in the way that I was mentioning it, it was just like, oh, this is just like such low-hanging fruit and I'm better than this self. All that to say, I'm on the train with you of self-deprecating jokes are not welcome as much as they used to in my world.
Yeah. I think you can do the opposite with almost the same reaction too. Like you can overly hype yourself up, which is sort of the same because it's an exaggeration of who you are and it's a joke about you, but in the end it still hypes you up a little bit, you know, instead of being like, oh, I'm so messy. You could be like, oh my God, I'm just like the most organized person in the whole world. And like, I just can't organize myself enough. And it's just like KonMari, like Marie Kondo would love to have what I have, you know? And it's just like, it ends up making yourself feel less like a punchline, but more of just an exaggeration, which I think is better.
Yeah, I think that's a great advice. What about if anyone is listening? Oh, actually, we're not done with this question. I was like going to jump right back into YouTube videos. So she said in the end, her basically her question is, how do you love yourself when you've been belittled your entire life? Yeah, we had said be with yourself and really go within. I also self-deprecating jokes like cut them out. I think those are good. Is there something more practical? I think because self-deprecating jokes, cutting them out is practical. What's like one more thing? I like to like always give like three practical ways of doing something because so many people, you know, have like these flighty concepts, which are nice in theory, but it's like, well, how do I fucking put that into my life? Like, what do I actually do? Do you have any other?
I think a great place to start is finding a new tribe of people that doesn't self-deprecate or, you know, belittle you. Like, find your community online, you know, and or in person. And there are lots of people who will care for you. Good friends don't belittle each other, period.
It doesn't sound to me like her friends are belittling her. It sounds like they're like gassing her up by saying that she's the funniest person ever. So if it's like in people who you live with or like in your family or whatever that are doing that, then maybe be like, hey, I don't like when you do this, this and that. And my answer stays therapy.
Yeah, that is a good practical piece of advice. Yeah, when people, I feel like I had someone earlier today was talking to me about how they felt trampled over in a relationship of theirs because their boundaries were getting crossed. And I'd asked if they had set the boundaries with the other person aside from like internally. And it's so funny because when we feel like we are resentful or we feel like people are trampling over us, it's probably because we set boundaries in our minds being like, they will not step on me like that. Or like, I won't let them talk to me like that. But then when they do that, because they don't know the boundary, we're the ones that are letting them cross the boundary because we haven't done anything.
Yeah, be communicative. Right.
So I think that's such a good one. Like the next time someone does belittle you or even has like a microaggression of belittling you, like that's your chance to go, hey, I actually want to talk to you about that. And then be honest and tell them like how that makes you feel and ask a question of moving forward. Like in the future, what I ask of you is to not say these things, or what I would love it if you would not do that. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you have a conversation with someone, especially a hard conversation, bringing it up is the hard part, but that's just the entryway. And then after you bring it up, you have to ask something before they move on, because then it's just like, okay, we talked about that, but how do I navigate these like weird waters? Like you're 18 years old and I've been telling you X, Y, and Z your entire life. And now there's like an issue. It's like, no, there's always been
an
issue.
And maybe explain like why. You can be like, it really affects my self-talk, you know? So instead of like, cause people will be like, oh, I'm joking. Or like, oh, whatever. That's a big one. It's like, oh, I was just kidding. And it's like, okay, I don't find that funny. It actually really hurts my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Intention aside, hurts my feelings. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one last super easy thing, especially like I know, you know, not everyone can afford therapy or it's hard sometimes when you're young to like take that first step, which, you know, if you can, I would definitely say go. But a really good practical thing that I do think also works is picking a mantra. Like I know that this person said like they don't feel like they're deserving of, you know, love and all this. You know, I think a great mantra for you might just be, I am deserving. And just saying that over and over again, even if you don't believe it, because I do think eventually you will. Like you fake it till you make it. And that is a real, real thing that I have learned from.
Yeah. I mean, our bodies are listening. So I'm on board with that. Okay. The last section of the pod before you go back to watching snake videos is called.
Oh my God.
Also, like, what happens in these videos? They just, the snake shed or what?
I mean, they hold the snake. They tell you about the species of snake and their behavior. You know,
oh, it's informative.
Some of them, it's very informative. Like, some of them do, like, breeding videos. So you, like, see snakes coming out of their eggs. It's really,
whoa.
Check out Snake Discovery on YouTube. It's the most informative and relaxing channel.
Jack, you should get a snake.
Well, I will be doing that immediately. Okay. This last section is called Tip Jar, three words only. I'm going to read a suggestion that was sent to us, and we have to give one piece of advice, round table, using only three words. So the example that I like to give is if the suggestion was Los Angeles, my three words of advice would be check parking signs. Okay.
Mine would be watch your back.
Jack, do you have one for Los Angeles?
Sorry. Okay.
Get out of there.
That's okay. Good.
So our first suggestion is pandemic. What are three words of advice for pandemic?
Ugh. Wear a mask.
How about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Family Feud was if this was Family Feud, that would be the first ding would be wear a mask.
Oh, for sure. I just won this game.
There's no reason to go on, but we will. Three words only for pandemic.
I think mine would be treat yourself. Is yourself too one word though?
It can be.
Oh my God. That's so embarrassing.
It can be one word. Treat yourself.
Treat Jack. Yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I haven't thought I was listening to yours, so let me think about
pandemic. Yourself is still one word.
Okay, treat yourself today.
There we go.
I think I'm gonna go I don't know. So much is going in my brain. But I think I'm going to say, let it be. Because I feel like it's not your circus, not your monkeys right now. You know, like, if this is, that's going on over there, cool, let it be. Unless it's, you know, like, fighting for change. Then don't let it be. But, like, with your body, with, like, your thought that you need to be productive 100% of the time, emails that you think you need to get to right away. Like, many things are not an emergency. So if you don't want to work out that day, let it be. You want to eat 5 gallons of pasta? Mm-hmm. Probably too much, but let it be. You can do that. Like, do what you want. Okay. Next.
What's a gallon of pasta?
Pasta in gallons.
I mean,
I've done it. Okay. Three words only for anxiety. Three words only.
Okay.
Stay in present.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say stay in the present, but, you know,
we got to cut some of the. Yeah. Okay. Stay in present. I like that.
I think. It's usually okay. Just a reminder.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I'm going to go all 5 senses. Whenever you're feeling anxious, check in with all of your 5 senses. What can you see? What can you smell? What can you taste? What can you touch? What can you hear? And that'll help ground you into your body and hopefully turn off the fight or flight response enough to sit with what's going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Last one is birthdays. Is it one of your birthdays soon? Hasn't been? Will it be?
It was just Jack's.
Happy birthday.
Jack just had a birthday.
And Amy surprised me. She drove down from LA and surprised me.
In San Diego.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I have my three words for my birthday.
I have the same ones.
Same at the same time. Okay,
should we say it at the same time? No, wait, I get that mine is different than y'all's. Okay.
Count us
in. 1, 2, 3.
Wait, what?
We did shrooms.
Oh, God.
How'd it go?
We did.
It was cute.
It was so fun. Awesome. Honestly, try it. I mean, I don't know.
I think
did you have any?
If you're interested,
was it? If you're interested, was it like just like beauty nature, or did you guys like go internally and learn stuff about yourself?
Yes, both.
Very internal, I think. Very internal. I cried and laughed a ton.
Like the whole day, it was just a yo-yo of like laughing and crying. Yeah.
I think what we both learned, a good thing we both learned, was about our inner beauty. Speaking about loving yourself, like the most beautiful time where everyone is beautiful is like when you are so truly yourself and laughing at your truest laugh. Like, and
yeah,
it doesn't matter what you look like.
Accepting yourself now. Yeah.
Like,
I'll accept myself when I'm 5 pounds lighter. It's like, no, this is where we are now. So it's all good.
And we are pretty when we feel good. You're at your prettiest when you're your happiest.
Oh my God. If that's not like the sign up for shrooms, like that sounds beautiful. The motto and tagline and campaign. Happy birthday. I'm so glad you guys had such a beautiful time. That's, oh my God, when you feel the most yourself, it's like, and some people are there all the time, not all the time, but you know, people that can like really be there. I am the first to say I'm not there right now, but am on the way. Like I would love to be just so true and authentic that I don't care about what other people are thinking. I can laugh. A lot of times like I feel like an outcast, or I feel like I have like gaps in my knowledge and stuff. And like, how beautiful is it for those small moments in our life where we can feel like we are showing up for exactly who we are and we have nothing to apologize about, but only everything to celebrate. That's such a beautiful feeling.
Wow.
That was sweet.
Happy birthday. Okay. So are your three words the same thing, or Jack, is yours do some shrooms? And
ours was, we did shrooms. Mine was, but yeah, I would say, I would say do some
love
shrooms.
It. I stand by it.
I have nothing else to say. It's my truest
form. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what even is a birthday? It's like, it's not real. Time isn't real. How about that?
Okay. It's an excuse to celebrate.
Yeah.
Just have fun, baby. Good.
Have fun, baby.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's a good one.
We have so many.
Okay. Birthdays in quarantine. I'm going to do mine on that. Cause we will all have a birthday in quarantine. Mine was in March and it was in quarantine. So I think anyone else's is going to be, you're Scorpio. That means you are.
You know November. Everything.
I literally I know you do. One interview and I got all of this information.
Amazing.
Super informative. November. Likely you will maybe have a quarantine birthday as well.
I'm positive that I'll be having a quarantine birthday.
Okay. So a tip on a quarantine birthday. I'm gonna make up a third word by just pushing two together, and I'm gonna say do what you want. And that's YAWANT. Do what you want.
Yeah, I know that word.
Yes, heard of it.
Okay.
I think that's great advice.
Anyone that's having a birthday coming up, you're welcome for this advice. I think those are good birthday tips. I mean, I think we did a good job on all of the tips. Thank you both for being here and being vulnerable and open. And I think that this is really helpful, especially in a time of uncertainty. This is very, very sweet.
Thanks for having us
on. Thank you for having us.
Fun.
It's been awesome.
You guys have your own podcast. Tell everybody where they can find you and listen to it and everything ever.
Please listen to Dating Straight. We're actually going to have Megan on, and it's going to be the complete opposite of this episode. This episode was like wholesome and sweet. And we're going to like go in about, you know, dating and
I cannot
such.
Wait.
Yeah.
So check it out.
If you want good advice, stick to this podcast. If you love bad advice, come over to ours because we know nothing.
I love it. Nothing.
And we'll be honest about
it. Entire spectrum. This is good. Listen to both of these podcasts all the time and you're set.
Yes. Yes.
Done
so
and
listen
done.
To Dating Straight.
Dating Straight. If you listening have a sticky situation or a burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we'll give you the most we can with what we have at the time of recording. Thank you for tuning in and we'll see you next week on 2 weeks from now on Just a Tip. Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.